Ares 1 is a success for NASA so far. Some Silver State students recover part of their money. And Ed Boland's happy with NBAA 2009. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, October 29, 2009. NASA's Ares 1X test rocket lifted off at 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time yesterday from Kennedy Space Center in Florida for a two-minute powered flight. Splashdown of the rocket's booster stage came at about T plus 6 minutes, almost 150 miles downrange. Doug Cook, Associate Administrator for the Exploration Systems Mission Directorate at NASA, calls it a huge step forward. Quote, Ares 1X provides NASA with an enormous amount of data that will be used to improve the design and safety of the next generation of American spaceflight vehicles, vehicles that could again take humans beyond low Earth orbit, unquote. The 327-foot-tall vehicle is the first new design to leave the pad at KSC since the first shuttle flight in 1981. It produced 2.6 million pounds of thrust to accelerate the rocket to nearly 3 Gs and Mach 4.76, just shy of hypersonic speed. First stage separation came at a suborbital altitude of 150,000 feet. The high-fiving in the hallways will pass quickly, but there were 700 individual sensors mounted on that vehicle to gather data. So lots of guys with pocket protectors have their work cut out for them for a long time to come. Officials in 12 states have succeeded in getting some relief for their citizens who were caught in the Silver State helicopter's collapse last year. In what was looking like a Ponzi scheme, students took out loans, in some cases $70,000 or more, to pay Silver State in advance for training. The school created student expectations based on an assumption of an ever-growing pool of incoming students to provide work for new CFIs cranked out by Silver State, all based on promises by founder Jerry Arola of a nationwide shortage of helicopter pilots that, quote, has opened a way to unlimited employment in a career that knows no limits, unquote. Well, those limits reasserted their existence when financing for new students got tight, heavily indebted new CFIs had no one to teach, and the school couldn't provide enough access to helicopters to meet its obligations. The whole thing came crashing down on February 3, 2008, when the school closed its doors with no advance notice. Students who were left with incomplete training and bankruptcy-proofed loan commitments will reportedly be relieved of an average of 76% of their debts based on prorating for training actually received in the states affected. Included are about $113 million in student loans from Student Loan Express, a member of New York-based CIT Group Incorporated. The states involved in the settlement are California, Florida, Georgia, Idaho, Illinois, Missouri, Montana, Nevada, Oklahoma, Oregon, Utah, and Washington. In the Silver State Chapter 7 bankruptcy proceeding, the trustee for the company's assets, James Lasowski Sr., filed an adversary lawsuit alleging fraudulent transfers of Silver State assets into other entities by Arola, former Silver State CFO Steve Pickett, First American Equity LLC, and Stars and Stripes Hiloplex LLC, all controlled or tied to Arola or his associates. The legal proceedings will remain an ugly reminder in the training industry for a while longer, but hopefully they'll also serve as a warning to any future student who's asked to pay $70,000+ up front for training in any financial institution tempted to participate. In a time when business aviation appears to be on life support, NBAA President Ed Boland is happily reporting that the association's 62nd annual meeting and convention saw 91% of last year's exhibitors return, drew almost 100 aircraft to the static display at Orlando Executive Airport, saw attendance reach 75% of last year, and raised $168,000 for the Corporate Angel Network. Quote, even in the tough climate we're in, the support for this show proves that it remains an absolutely essential venue for the buyers and sellers in our industry to connect and promote a true and positive image of business aviation. Equally important, this was an opportunity to come together all in one place and underscore the importance of business aviation to citizens, companies, and communities across the country, and articulate a vision for our future. Our thanks to everyone involved for making this year's event a success, unquote. The annual Air Medical Transport Conference wrapped up yesterday in San Jose, California. An American Eurocopter used the occasion to announce that it's received Part 142 certification for its EC-135 training program. The company says it plans to add the EC-145 program to the certificate by year's end and the AS-350 program in next year's third quarter, pending FAA approval. Mark Paganini, president and CEO of American Eurocopter, notes, quote, "This is the first full-motion EC-135 simulator developed on manufacturer product knowledge in the U.S., unquote. The Part 142 approval from the FAA will allow operators to use sim time to reduce or eliminate in-aircraft training requirements. Up next on ANN, ALPA defends two inattentive Northwest pilots. Hawaiian Airlines pilots ask the feds for the go-ahead to strike. And a missing Army C-12 is found in the mountains of Afghanistan. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-Cessna.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for October 29th. I'm Paul Plack. The Delta Master Executive Council of the Airline Pilots Association is lashing out at the National Transportation Safety Board for what it calls an abandonment of due process in the board's publicizing the voluntary statements of the two pilots involved in that Northwest overflight at Minneapolis last week. NTSB released its usual factual report and in a press advisory dated Monday disclosed that the pilots admitted they lost track of time during a discussion of company business on the flight deck and used their personal laptop computers in violation of company policy while they ignored radio calls from ATC and text messages from airline officials for over an hour. While the board's report avoided anything which could be construed as a finding of cause or recommendation of action, ALPA nevertheless has issued a statement accusing NTSB of sabotaging voluntary reporting programs. The Aviation Safety Action Programs promise airline employees immunity from both FAA enforcement action and employer discipline in exchange for coming forward to report safety issues. Captain Lee Moak, chair of the Delta Master Executive Council, commented, quote, "Programs like ASAP could be dealt a debilitating blow as pilots question the integrity of these voluntary programs. The NTSB is an independent federal agency charged with determining the probable cause of transportation accidents and promoting transportation safety. They are not charged with prematurely releasing self-disclosed information to be sensationalized in the press," unquote. Moak also hinted that ALPA may try to spread the blame around. Quote, "We will work closely with Delta and federal officials to determine any root causes for last week's sequence of events," unquote. By way of personal comment, I know union employees in various professions who are grateful for collective representation at contract time, but are not always proud of their unions for fighting to keep bad apples in the workforce. In cases like this, I wonder how conscientious airline pilots feel about paying dues to support running cover for these guys. I also wonder if the union isn't throwing away the public confidence it was earned in the past year by guys like Sully and Skiles. Hawaiian Airlines pilots represented by ALPA are pointing to 3 years of stalled contract talks with the airline and asking the federal government to declare an impasse. If the motion is granted by the National Mediation Board, it would start a 30-day countdown to a strike which was authorized earlier this fall in a 98-2 vote by pilots. Captain Eric Sampson, chairman of ALPA's Hawaiian group, says bonuses paid just to Hawaiian's top five executives in 2008 represent a sum almost double what would be required to cover requested 2010 pilot pay raises. Quote, "Our pilots have worked under a bankruptcy-era contract for almost 5 years, while the airline made more and more money. We've had enough," unquote. In his letter to the NMB, ALPA President John Prater concluded, quote, "There is simply no reason to believe that the company will change its position without the imposition of a deadline and the possible release from mediation," unquote. Military officials say International Security Assistance Force members Tuesday recovered the remains of three civilian crew members and the wreckage of an aircraft missing for 2 weeks in the rugged mountains of northeastern Afghanistan. The crew was flying an Army C-12 Huron, basically a military version of a Super King Air twin turboprop, when it failed to return to Bagram Airfield after a routine mission early October 13th above Afghanistan's Nuristan province. The incident is under investigation. Hostile action is not believed to be the cause. Officials say a Black Hawk helicopter en route to the recovery site October 17th experienced a strong downdraft, made a hard landing, and had to be evacuated and destroyed in place near the site where the C-12 was ultimately found. Still ahead, Boeing offers a new 20-year market forecast. Russia loves its 172s, even simulated ones. And the day the Earth stood still may be at hand. You're listening to Aero News.
You hear that sound? It's one of the all-time great inventions. Takes lids off cans just like that. But now, let's picture something even bigger. A tool that can take the lid off a whole airport. Actually, thousands of airports. It's a Garmin Wass GPS. Lets you make glide path approaches using runways that were once closed tight during IFR conditions. Hey, if you're gonna fly in the soup, you gotta have an opener. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, October 29. I'm Paul Plack. Boeing Commercial Airplanes VP of Marketing Randy Tinseth shared the company's market data and forecast Tuesday at a media conference focused on the global and Oceania commercial airplane market. He revealed that company projections predict that over the next 20 years, airlines in Australia, New Zealand, and the South Pacific Islands will require 670 new airplanes valued at about $90 billion. Globally, airlines will need 29,000 new airplanes through 2028, worth $3.2 trillion U.S. Quote, it's encouraging that 27% of our 20-year forecast already is on order, unquote. Two in three of Oceania's commercial airplane deliveries through 2028 will be for growth, he says, and the rest to replace older, less efficient airplanes. As for his company's opportunity over the next two decades, Tinseth added, quote, Boeing is focused on a simple strategy, and that is to provide our customers with airplanes that are the right size, with the right capabilities, at the right time, unquote. Frasca International, based in Urbana, Illinois, reports an order for two Cessna 172 flight and navigation procedures trainers for St. Petersburg State University of Civil Aviation in Russia. The sale was facilitated through Jet Transfer, the Cessna aircraft representative in Russia. The school already has ordered 12 real-life Cessna 172S Skyhawks. The two simulated training devices will be the first Frasca has sold to and had installed in Russia. They'll feature Frasca's TrueVision global visual system and other technologies representing what's found in new 172s, including Jeppesen Navigational Database and Garmin G1000, GFC700 Autopilot, and WAS GPS, and more. Sergei Filatov, in aircraft sales and management with Jet Transfer, commented, quote, we are certain that having these new modern aircraft and simulators will make the university a leading pilot training center, not only for Russia, but in Eastern Europe as well, unquote. And finally today, now that the first successful Ares 1 test flight is complete, we can disclose a story which might have proven to be too great a distraction to the U.S. manned space program had we mentioned it earlier. The Honolulu Exopolitics Examiner reports that an official announcement by the Obama administration disclosing the reality of extraterrestrial life is imminent. Michael Sala, Ph.D., writes that the reason the U.S. president was given the Nobel Peace Prize after so little time on the world stage was to give him the credibility needed for the forthcoming announcement. Quote, two independent and confidential sources have revealed to me that face-to-face meetings have recently occurred between U.S. military officials with one or more groups of extraterrestrial visitors. This has allegedly led to confidence being built for future cooperation with the extraterrestrials that will be formally announced to the world public either at the end of 2009 or early 2010, unquote. Then comes the only part of this I find a little scary. Quote, President Obama will lead an unprecedented effort to promote global governance through the United Nations. The administration and its supporters are poised to take a bold step forward in helping our planet become an interplanetary culture that openly deals with the challenges posed by extraterrestrial life, unquote. Then again, lending credence to the idea this might be a hoax, Salen notes, quote, the United Nations held closed-door discussions where approximately 30 nations secretly agreed on a new openness policy on UFOs, unquote. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, IAM President Tom Buffenbarger addresses NBAA 2009. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.